All right, we're on to number 24 of the 48 ways, and that is Ve'emunas Chachomim. Emunah means to believe. Chachomim is the wise man. Now, it doesn't say to accept. The rabbis aren't saying to accept. You're not supposed to accept anything from anyone. Yeah? But emunah is belief. Now, you remember we tell you the difference between belief and knowledge is that belief is for substantial reason, but not absolute. For instance, I say to you, Richard, if you had money available and I asked you for a loan of $100, would you lend me $100? I'll pay you back in 6 weeks. Yeah. Now, if I asked you for $10,000, I'll pay you back in 6 weeks. If you had it. Do you notice that you look at me? Yeah. You're trying to figure out whether I'm a responsible person. You believe that I want to pay you back, but do I know what I'm doing? Faith is an act of desire. We say the guys who buy the Brooklyn Bridge, they're working on faith. If they were objective about it, they would never buy it. They know, well, you know, this guy is going to sell this bridge for $10,000 because of fire sale. That's ridiculous, yeah? But he needs some cash now. It's a little play toy of his. So. But they're greedy. They figure they can make a lot of money. So they throw their perceptions out of the wind and they make a leap of faith. And they buy the Brooklyn Bridge. Their perception would be, this guy is a con man. But in as much as their desire sways their perception, so they have an act of faith. Belief is for the objective perception. So the objective perception is that if you find a wise man, then he understands about living. Then give him credibility, trust. Like you would trust a doctor if you have evidence that he's from Harvard, well-educated from a good medical school. Now, what is it that we have to do? The rabbis say, if you want to live, friend, you have to believe that there is wisdom available and that all human beings are carrying wisdom. Get the wisdom that they have. If you think you're going to experience it all yourself, you're going to get a divorce and then you'll know what marriage is about. Yeah. Then, man, you're in for a lot of trouble. Now, you realize that when we have a society, when we have our own issues, we don't feel like listening. We have a sense of loyalty. I mean, you know, I'm a communist, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Jew. And you are obligated to loyalty. I'm an American. You know, I was brought up in Western civilization. You're loyal to the people. You have to struggle for them. You owe them something. But if they're making a mistake, you owe it to them to discover that mistake and spread the word if you can find the tools. That's what loyalty is. So appreciate you need the wisdom of others to get you out of your locked-in cell. Okay, so how do we go about it? So number one is that you look, see, and appreciate the need for wisdom. The need for wisdom. And that is that no society is perfect and no human being is perfect. Did you ever meet a perfect human being? It's going to be in your bones. Richard, do you know you're making mistakes? Be afraid of your mistakes. Want to get out of it. Then you see, look, somebody has wisdom. Let me get it. Number two is, see that it's not an easy thing to do. We're prejudiced. My society is right. You're born in Red China, my society. And we're the perfect society. We've evolved beyond the United States. Yeah? We're the communists. We're all for one for all. Huh? Good sounding stuff. Catholics, we found the truth. Jews, we found the truth. We're all prejudiced in our society and ourselves. If I've made a decision we should give back the Golan Heights, then I know. If I know that there is no God, then I know. And we hug our prejudices very close. And we defend our prejudices. We rationalize. If we think homosexuality is perfectly normal, then whatever evidence is contrary, we'll twist out of that. If we think that you can't have any absolute truth in somebody, we twist because it's our idea. So be as you've got to focus, be loyal to your real self. And your real self is to live in reality, sanity, to truth and beauty. That's where your loyalty is. You have no loyalty to your ideas or to your society's ideas. Put it on the table. Let's see. Let's reason. It's easier said than done. But at least if you know what the problem is, then you've got a good chance of implementing it. All right, number three is, now what is it that we're seeking? Let's define that clearly. Wisdom. Wisdom means to recognize reality of life values. What is real about living? What is good? What is pleasure? What's driving us? What is it not? It's not biology or physics or plumbing. That's what the physical world is about. Living is what our life is about. Another way of putting it is, up until you have shelter and you're physically satisfied with food, yeah, that's plumbing. From there, what are you living for? That's wisdom. Yeah.
But to understand wisdom, don't you have to understand what the physical world is about?
There are aspects. It's not because you understand the circulation of the blood, yeah, do you understand what living is about. There's meaning in the trees and in the forest and in everything. But you have to abstract it for living. There is. We have a Geiger counter that there is a relevance. Good. It will not teach you what living is really about. What's the meaning of existence? Beyond that. All right, so number four is believe in wisdom of human beings, which means that people have it. They have experiences, definitions, insights of what living is about. What's marriage? What's pleasure? What's happiness? What's love? What do people live for? What's good? What's free will? People have it. They've lived. They have it. You've learned something in the last 20 years. The next guy's learned something. And it's not exactly the same thing that you've learned, right? So you must have learned something that you didn't learn. B of this is, that's what you've got to seek. What does he know that is valid about living that I can use? All right, number five is, believe in the wise man means that be real. You get wisdom, you know that you got it, and you know where to find it. So to make you real, I mean, these words don't mean much to you, but you hear a guy gives you a tip. Yeah, he says, buy S&S stock, it's going up 10 points tomorrow. It's holding by 20, it'll be 30 tomorrow. Buy today. And you look at this stock, sure enough, in one day it went up 50%. Right? And you didn't buy. You say, oy vey. But you know who the guy is. You're going to call the guy up. Sure you call him up, right? And what do you say? Hey, you got any other hot tips? You know, I really appreciate it if you got any hot tips. So he says, sure, B&B. B&B is going up 100%. 3 days. Got $1,000 lying around. You invest, right? Goes up 100% in 3 days. You made $1,000 on the stock, right? Now what do you do? You don't forget who gave you the tip. Matter of fact, you decide you're going to get a job in New York, right? That's where the guy is. And you're going to take him to work every morning. Because you know, boy, I made $1,000. You're real. Yeah? Now what if somebody taught you a little bit about living? You know his address? We might have a few other tips. Okay, so number six is, how do we find a wise man? So, now if you wanted to fly, yeah, if you wanted somebody to teach you knowledge, that's not wisdom, right? To know how to put the stick and put in the pressure and check out the instruments and the ailerons, yeah? That, you want a pilot, a flying school, right? And what do? You look in the phone book, Yellow Pages directory, right? You look up schools, flying schools, right? You ask the Better Business Bureau. You want to know some of their students? Maybe you can check it out. I mean, if you don't feel like choosing, why don't you figure, well, if they're listed, they can't have had too many crashes. Yeah. All right. Good luck flying school. That doesn't sound too good. Expert flying school. That's a good name. Okay. Expert flying school. That's not too smart, but at least you know. You go to telephone directory, and you look up flying schools, and. Because you want to fly, yeah? Okay, now you want wisdom. What are you going to look up? There's your Avil. Nah. Right? That's the only school for wisdom. The only one that takes wisdom, and that's what you got to learn. Instructions for living. Now, B of this is, what if there's no telephone directory? And you can't find, you don't know yeshivot is a euphemism for school for wisdom. Yeah? So how are you going to find a wise man? So imagine again, you wanted to fly. You want to learn how to pilot a plane, right? And there's no classified directory. How would you find a school for flying? And what would you do at the airport?
Talk to a pilot.
Talk to a pilot. What would you ask him?
Where'd you
learn how to fly? Right? So what do you do if there's no airport? You're living in a small town. So you can ask. You know anybody who's a pilot? They say, oh, yeah, I'm Yankel, he's a pilot. You call up Yankel, they tell me, Yankel, you fly a plane? One time I was in a plane, so somebody let me hold the controls. Thank you very much, Yankel. You know anybody who flies a plane? Who did you fly with? Well, you get that. You investigate. Okay, what does that have to do with wisdom? Ask people, you know anything about living? Where'd you learn it? Where does it come from? So let's make the investigation now. What do you say? Pardon me, what's your name?
Pinchas.
Where did you learn about wisdom? You know, before you came to Yeshiva.
Not to lie.
Not to lie. Where'd you get that?
My parents.
Where did they get it?
They got it from Judaism.
Not from Judaism. Well then, you know what? Why don't you go to the flying school? Yeah. Come back to us. Does that make sense? You want wisdom, you take a look around, you see somebody who has something. Where'd you get it from? Number seven is that, look, you want to check out. So you're in Uganda and you get appendicitis attack, right? Do you ask any doctors here? They say, sure, Dr. Wiji. Yeah? What kind of doctors are you? Well, he puts on this big mask. And, no, you got anybody trained in the West? You know, something. Yeah, and it's Dr. Huku. Yeah? You walk in there, there's a degree from Harvard University on the wall. You say, thank God, here in Uganda, Harvard University. Wow, a doc, I got pains, right? But what if you take a little look over there and it's a reproduction of a Harvard degree? He says, look, the original was torn up. But you can trust me, I'm from Harvard. Yeah? How do you know? Now, you're in desperate states. Yeah. But if you're smart, what you do is, you say, doctor, can you describe, if you have the nerve, you say, doctor, can you describe the circulation of the blood? You know, yeah. He says, well, there's a little pump over here. Thank you very much, doc. Out. Yeah. Now, what does that have to do with wisdom? This is a degree for wisdom, right? There is no other school for wisdom. It doesn't mean that everybody who comes out of the place knows the same amount of stuff, right? But okay, you hear that somebody's a wise man. Let's say there's no degree. You want to check him out. Yeah? What do you know about life? And the guy's a guru. He's sitting there like this. You know? This is holy. You know? Wow. You say, Sir Guru, how do I check you out, whether you got real wisdom? How do I know that these words aren't sweet words? You know, there's a guru down the block that's teaching things that are different than you. Isn't that the first thing that you should ask a wise man? But inasmuch as you know anything, if you know that happiness is an obligation, ask the guru. Tell me, guru, what does a man do to be happy? And he says, meditate. And he says, yeah, but tell me, guru, what is the definition of happiness? He says, well, you go to the next guru. Guy doesn't know the definition of happiness. There's something wrong. Yeah? Yeah.
Suppose the guru has an answer for everything.
God said, then ask him your questions. Then you got a wise man. Right? Remember, we'll discuss later. You got to check out the answers anyway. That's what a wise man will tell you. Don't accept everything I say just because I said, check it out. All right, number eight is that there is a caution. It's not that simple. What do you mean it's not that simple? In medicine, there are eye specialists who won't know the first thing about a skin condition. There's basic knowledge. That's a trifle ridiculous to think that he's forgotten how the heart works. Yeah? But it could very well be that he's forgotten simple skin conditions or simple bone setting procedures that you know about. Yeah? Because you're a first aid man. That's his field, that's what he knows. He knows the eye inside and out. Yeah? There are wise men who are specialists. who work in certain fields, especially in the broad range of Torah. People are specialists in how to learn, and people are specialists in how to change. They're specialists. So you have to be cautious. The fact that a man doesn't know a simple thing in wisdom sometimes does not mean that he's completely worthless, right? A lot of times it doesn't mean that he's completely worthless. Even the guru who doesn't know that happiness is appreciate what you got, that guru might have a piece of wisdom or two. Yeah? Well, a lot. Yeah. But he ain't that all-wise man, that's for sure. Okay, number 9. Now, how do we go about believing? We gave you one instance, you got a tip on the market, but I want to give you a different instance altogether. How do we go about believing in the wise man? We found him. We came across him, we stumbled, we found the school for wisdom. Yeah. Now, what does belief mean? So, you say to you know, in Israel, they have this lottery. It's called the Pais. Now, what do you say, David, if I would say to you, I know there's a lottery stand right on Rehov Yafo. You buy one, and you will win 10,000 shekel. How much does it cost? 10 shekel to buy, right? And you pass that. Would you buy one?
Sure.
You would? Richard, would you buy one? There are guys around here who buy one just to lose so that they can say, Rabbi. You got that? Yeah? But of course, why not? Okay, so let's say you go out, David, and you invest it. On Friday, you go and look, and sure enough, you won 10,000 shekels. That's something like 800 bucks, 700 bucks, right? Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to thank me? Yeah, you thank me. Anything else?
Maybe you have another tip.
Uh-huh. All right, sir. I tell you, look, you ask for another tip. Go down to the German colony. On a side street over there, it's called Rehov Dulinski. Yeah? There's a pious shop. Buy one there, and you win 50,000 shekels. Now, what do you do?
I'm there.
You're there. Sure enough, you win 50,000 shekels. Now you got 50,000 shekels is $5,000, right? Okay, you come back to thank me, and then you say, you got another tip? And does this go on? Yeah. Well, this time I tell you, you know what, friend? At the train station in Haifa, you buy a pious there, and you win $50,000. $50,000, right? Yeah? Now what do? You're going to go to Haifa? You go all the way to Haifa. You know, this is a trip of a 5-hour trip, 2.5 hours there, 2.5 hours back, right? You go to Haifa, right? You buy the ticket. Now, I said $50,000, yeah? Come back, you look it up, you only won $10,000. Now, what do? You're going to come back to thank me? Or you're going to come back and say, hey, what's going on, Rabbi? No, it's okay, Rabbi. Yeah, wow. Well, it's terrific. $10,000. You got another tip? You don't wonder how you know. Look, this is working. Don't shake it up. Yeah. This time I send you to England for the sweepstakes. $1 million. Are you going to go to England? You go to England. Treat wisdom the same way. You get a tip. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know how, but damn it, it makes sense. Yeah? Go back for more. According to how much you're getting, you're willing to try more. If you won 700 bucks one time, you're not going to go to England. It sounds ridiculous, right? But if it's fourth time and you won substantial money, you take more risk, more trouble. So, if we teach you how to be tough, it gives you power to accomplish your things, right? But wisdom is more life. It's different values in life. Ultimately, it's more pleasure. It's more awareness. It's more meaning. So, number 10 is, appreciate any and every piece of wisdom. Ask yourself, how much? What is being happy worth? You see, in money, we know immediately. I made 50 bucks. I made $10,000, I made $1 million. I mean, you know, to know how much we should trust a man and how much we should invest in his ideas, you have to weigh it out. What is it worth to you? What is it worth to you to know that there's a definition of good? You heard that yesterday? Did you accept that definition? How much is that worth? To know that you were willing to die to be good. But you have to, each idea, and just thinking of an idea, how much it's worth, you appreciate, it gives you a different slant on wisdom. But then you'll know how much you want to invest with a man who can give you ideas that are priceless. And if you don't know what you're living for, then man, you're not alive, you'll never make it, that's priceless. But if you know it's priceless, you see, you might use it. That's a little business. That's one of the 48 ways. Number 11 is that appreciate each idea, even if you're not going to use it. Now, that sounds ridiculous, yeah? There are fellas here, how many fellas here believe that they have the secret of happiness, and that if they really worked at it for an hour a day for the next 60 days, they would essentially be more pleasured in life the rest of their lives? How many heard the happiness? Sameach b'chelko. Only you? Oh, so I haven't heard it yet. Uh-huh. Well, joy. You heard joy? Right? How many believe that joy is an obligation? Okay, so do you believe that if you worked at that how for an hour a day for the next 3 months, that you would have joy of life? You'd wake up in the morning, it's great to be alive. And you'd just be full of joy. Now, how much is that worth? Never mind, you're not going to use it. Yeah? Now, how much is it worth to have the secret of walking around life fully alive, joyous?
Million bucks,
right? So even if you don't use it, put the value. Now you say, then it's ridiculous, so why don't I use it? That's your personal proclivity. Yeah. For some reason, it's like a doctor cured you. You were blind, and he cured you, and now you can see. And what do you see? You don't like what you see. An ugly world, etc. So you keep your eyes shut tight. Yeah. But you know, wow, this guy is a great doctor. Yeah. So if you value the wisdom, even if you don't use it, and you put that value on it, then you might come across a piece of wisdom, or you might think of something that you really want to know, and go after it. If a guy can cure blindness, then maybe he can get rid of your warts. Maybe, yeah. Maybe not, but maybe. Okay, number 12 is that be sure, my friend, that you hurt in your ignorance. You don't know how to get moving, how to make decisions, and have joy. What hurts you? Really, there's a lot hurting you, but you're not focusing your ache. Find the things that ache. You'll go looking for a doctor. You'll go looking for wisdom. I remember a family came, a father and a mother, and a brother and a sister, and they were prejudiced against Orthodox Jews, as a fact, and they said as much. They said, we want your help. What were they listening to me? Boy, they listened for an hour and they checked out everything. What happened was that one of their children, a brother, yeah, was caught up with one of these fundamental sects of Christianity that says everything is evil. Yeah? They said, we don't mind so much if he was a Christian, if he only enjoyed life. But he said, what can we do to get him out of it? Yeah? I was telling them ideas. They wrote down, that sounds good, let's try that. And they were there because they were hurting in their ignorance. They cared for that brother. They didn't care about religion, about this, about that. But this guy, he thinks that sex is filthy and the parents are devils and that he hates humanity. And anything we can do. When your ignorance hurts, boy, you're very serious. Okay, number 13 is believe in the wise men is an idea for you people to take up. Start a fad. You know, people are going to Bulgaria yet. A couple of guys go to Bulgaria, then tourist fad is you got to go to Bulgaria, right? You start a fad of tour the wise men. Pick up wisdom. Tour them. Don't become a guru. Don't become a disciple. Pick up wisdom. Trade in stamps. That's really the most fascinating part of touring. You got a piece of wisdom? Do you have a piece of wisdom? You guys go back to university, you go back to work, ask somebody, do you have a piece of wisdom today? Start a fad, come on, you know. So many fads going on in the United States, yeah? Number 14 is, remember, if you find a wise man, then take what he says heavy, even if it's against your prejudice. It doesn't mean accept him, but even against your prejudice, give him a good hearing. Like if a doctor is telling you, hey, look, there's something I see from him. He just looked at you, and I see that you have a heart condition. You give him a good hearing. B of this is that the wise men of the oral tradition, what does it mean to take it heavy? They say, belong to judgment. Big deal. No, that's saying something heavy. What does it mean, belong to judgment? When do you make judgments? When is the last judgment you made? We make judgments every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes. Right now you're judging. Belong to judgment. Don't be hasty in judgment. What does it mean, don't be hasty? How are you not hasty? Well, how do you make a judgment? I like this, I don't. I feel like, Take, first focus, what are they saying? What do they mean? How do they mean it? What are you supposed to do about it? They're heavy. That's the idea. They're heavy. And sometimes you don't follow them. Did you ever see one of the papers? We got a kid in there. You know Clay Loescher? Did you ever see his master's thesis? No, it's on mathematics. I mean, it's just pages of mathematics, you know, equations. That's the thesis. Yeah? I don't know what he's talking about. But I figure, listen, he got a thesis at Weizmann Institute. He must be saying something there, right? So even if you don't understand, look, it's the Jewish people. We've been studying this for 3,500 years. There must be something there. Don't laugh at that. Ask somebody, if you're really interested, can you give me a little introduction into these figures and train me how to read them? That's the way to treat our sources. Number 15 is, look, the word is emunah, not Kabbalah. Believe, don't accept. So what does that mean? Give them credit. They're heavy. But be critical. If you see any contradictions, ask. Could you explain that? How can that be? Yeah? Because it's belief. You've got to check it out. Use your perceptions. So B of this is, and this is one of the proofs that I say is a proof of Torah from Sinai. You'll find in the Talmud that the rabbis would intentionally make misstatements in logic, wrong logical presentations to their students. And the rabbis ask, why do they do that? And they answer, l'chidudeh, to sharpen them. What does that mean? Does anybody understand what that means? What do you mean testing them? How were they testing?
How they were accepting it, how quickly.
Huh? Do you get the picture? They would have a group like this, you know, or 1,000 people, and they say, "Well, then, therefore, we must come to the conclusion that this is what meaning means." Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. And they say, "Now, do you see that?" And if a head went down, yeah, pick them up, yank them into the lake. Yeah. They wanted to see whether you're really checking it out. How can you agree about something that stupid? No. That means you went zombie on me. What do I want, a tape recorder? So they would intentionally say something off to make sure that the student wasn't being, you know, an apple polisher. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Who needs that? Don't need no yes man. Do you get that? And only if you have truth can you do that. See that? Only if you're looking for truth do you train your students to pick up by intentionally making them everyone, you've got to make your own decision. See if this is, if I might point out, certainly don't be gullible. Don't be stupid. So what do I mean gullible? You know, a few years back there was a study made by a president's commission as to whether sex and pornography increases violence and rape. Now, all the newspapers printed it. It's found by the President's Commission, found to be true. Violence, sex, rape does not increase. Yeah. Great. Nobody saw a couple of months afterwards the professor on the President's Commission saying, hey, you know, we agreed, you know, CBS was on there and Paramount Studios, and this guy said, hey, look, we agreed to tone it down, but it wasn't so, yeah? Nobody saw the contradictions later. But did you check it out? When you see rape, yeah, and, you know, gang rape in a movie, doesn't make you more disposed towards it? Doesn't affect you? Come Think for a moment. We're affected. A burglar, you know, the first thing that a burglar does, if somebody yells, the first thing that he has to do is he wants to get out. Yeah? Unless he saw a picture last night, and it's a woman screaming. And he has a second thought, right? Isn't that obvious? You're going to buy that? That's gullibility. That means you're not checking it out, because it's the president's commission. Or society's saying there are things that are obvious. What do you mean there is no truth? My friends, how can you walk around with there is no truth? Either there is a God or there ain't a God. What do you mean no absolutes? Because people don't believe in God, so he disappears, he faints. Come on, check it out yourself. All right, number 16 is use for living. And how do you use this for living? Look, if you had the opportunity to spend one day with the wisest man in the world, a whole day, what would you ask? Do you understand? The wisest man in the world, Moses came. I mean, bona fide. You got God's word for it. The wisest man in this world. You got a whole day. What would you want to know? Make a list. Do you see that that is the first step towards wisdom? What do you want to know? What's good? What are my powers? What is man? What is the ultimate pleasure? What is the meaning of existence? Keep that list handy. And B, go shopping. Once you have a list, you'd be surprised that people have answers to what you really want to know. Number 17 is that for goodness sake, for living, make a list of what you need to know for the different things that you're going to be doing. Marriage. What do you need to know about marriage? You need a definition for it? You need to know what's the problems? How do you get along with a woman? A woman and men the same? How does it work? Children. Why children? What children? What's the pleasure of children? What else are you going to do? You're going to go job seeking? Job choice? What is a job? Just a way of making money? Is that what you're living for? Come on, make a list of the things that you're going to do and make a list of what you got to know and start finding out about it now. Ask people, what's marriage today? Why is there divorce? What happens? Why people in love go and get divorced? Sooner or later, you're going to have this information. Find out about it now. Okay, so let me just give a few whys. And one of the whys is, you see, that there's an awful lot to learn about living. You're going to experience it all yourself. It's like learning about physics all by yourself. You can do it. It was all found by human beings, but it'll take you an awful long time. You're going to experience all of life yourself. You're going to learn all about it. You're going to make the mistakes and correct them. It'll take you an awful long time. Got to get it from people who have it. So start your search now and believe that people have had it. They've been there before you. Number two is that, look, you've got to be real. Life is what counts. Life, pleasure, values, that's what counts. The rest of it is a lot of information that you're going to use it someday. You've got to know the coral reef, and then what is a reef, and what are the worlds, and the mountains, and the cities, and the languages, and the blood, and the chemistry, and physics. Yeah, you got to know it all. It's all your world. But friend, first you got to know yourself. You got to know what you're living for. You got to know how to prioritize, how to make decisions. What do you want? Treat it as real. So go look for it. You'll look for the wise man. Okay, two assignments. Number one is, you got a few guys over here. Go shopping straight for wisdom. As five fellas, before you came to Yeshiva, or from anywhere else, except from the classes that we shared together, tell me one good piece of wisdom that you've picked up in life. And where'd you pick it up from, etc. Yeah? Start the fad right here. Give me five. Yeah? The other assignment is, please, ask yourself, if I had a whole day with the wisest man in the world, what would I want to know? Take 15 minutes to put down. What would you want to know? Work at it. It's good exercise. Yeah? Once you have it down, go shopping for one item or two. Yeah? See whether you can pick some information up. Thank
you. You have been listening to Voices from Jerusalem. For a complete listing of our cassettes, see our web store at aish.com. For a free cassette catalog, email us at voices@aish.com or call toll-free in the U.S. 1-800-VOICES-3. Our main office is at 1 Western Wall Plaza, Jerusalem, Israel. Shalom from Jerusalem.